I took it to heart. You know, it was not necessarily fun getting beat up on, but I'll tell you, the outcome of that feels like I'm going to have much better results in recapture as a result of that.
Welcome to another episode of the Rogue Startups Podcast with Craig Hewitt and Dave Rodenbaugh. This is a podcast documenting the journey of self-funded business founders and sharing lessons, tips, and tricks for businesses following the same path as ours. The journey is long and winding, but we're glad you're joining us for it. And now it's time to go rogue with Dave and Craig.
All right. Welcome to another episode of Rogue Startups. Today is number 81. We're closing in on 100 here, Craig. Pretty exciting, huh?
Yeah, man. We got the parade plans all in the works here already.
A parade. Do we get tanks and missiles to go with our parade as well?
Oh, yeah. It seems like it's going that way, huh?
Yeah.
Incredible.
Hopefully not. No, I don't want to celebrate with either of those. That's no fun. Maybe fireworks.
There you go.
Yeah, my kids would probably like it if they had like a Disney-style parade instead with huge floats and obnoxious movie characters and stuff like that. So maybe we'll go that way.
That sounds very PG. That sounds great. Yeah. Oh, man. So how was your week last week?
My week last week was excellent. Truly, absolutely most excellent. In fact, I was so excited by the end of the conference, I actually couldn't wait for our next podcast to talk about it.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
That's how good it was, yes. So Big Snow Tiny Conf West went off, I would say, relatively hitch-free. There were pretty much no major glitches in there. The mix of people was very different this year. So we had some SaaS owners, had a guy that was doing Amazon FBA, had a couple of had one consultant, and then we had a couple of guys that were doing like enterprise level stuff. So it was definitely not the exact same mix from last year, which I thought was a definite plus. You know, you got some fresh and different perspectives on things. I think there was some mixed reaction on how that went. I think the SaaS guys really wanted more SaaS input and feedback, and it was hard to tell what, you know, the non-SaaS folks were getting out of the discussions where we were largely talking about SaaS stuff. But, you know, there was definitely a lot of general business practices and are you paying attention to your customer and how do you really know that and are you tracking the right data kind of discussion. So all of that was pretty good. The skiing was good. The conditions were pretty decent. We expected to have about 11 inches of snow when we were there. We got exactly one.
Oh, wow. Interesting. But you've had a huge base this year, right?
They had a pretty huge base, and there was a lot of stuff that fell back in like early January. So it was not for lack of snow up there. But yeah, we had some really bizarre weather. Like one night we had a massive windstorm. It was like 60 to 80 mile an hour winds on top of the mountain. We got up the next day and trees were knocked down, like into the runs knocked down.
Wow, that's crazy, huh?
Yeah. These are like 30, 40 foot trees just lying over, crap everywhere on the run. So, and some of them, you were coming down the lift and it was like the worst game of dodgeball ever where you're like, ah, stick, pine cone, ah, rock. You're just like trying to get around it. If you got to the middle of the mountain, it was okay, but the lift that we went up was a little dicey for that.
You guys went backcountry skiing without knowing it then, huh? Right?
Without knowing it, yes.
But speaking of backcountry skiing, we had a pretty bad avalanche here earlier this week. Four people plus a guide haven't been found yet, to my knowledge. They were backcountry, or they call it off-piste here, skiing, snowboarding actually. But yeah, scary times. It's been warm here, so I think that's probably what brought it on. But yeah, it's no joke.
Yeah, no, we had another guy that died in an avalanche up here recently, and another guy up at another ski area that was from Mexico and went like headfirst into a tree, was wearing a helmet, died. Like, ow.
That's terrible.
Oh, yeah. There's always a handful of those deaths every year, and they're very sad and tragic, and it's obvious that, you know, the helmet is not 100% guarantee, but yeah, I'm pretty sure that if he hadn't worn the helmet and hit the tree, definitely would have been probably a nasty looking stain on the slopes. Yeah. Not good. Not good.
So interesting to like dig in a little bit to the mix of people that you had. So, interesting, like the FBA types and the consultant, what was their sort of like input to you guys that are into SaaS? Was it pretty constructive, or did they kind of sit back and only kind of partake in certain parts of the discussion?
I would say it's more of the latter. They definitely were a little more reserved about some things in there. Some things they would jump on. Like, you know, when we were having discussions about customer service, I mean, pretty much everybody's got some perspective on that. Whether you're a consultant, you know, your form of customer service looks a little bit different than somebody who's doing a SaaS or somebody that's doing e-commerce. But, you know, you all kind of have some similar things to talk about. And maybe those different perspectives are actually kind of valuable. I can't remember a specific discussion that we had on that, but I do remember that the more general stuff they chimed in on, but the SaaS specific stuff that, you know, I think they were just quietly listening.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that's, you know, in all fairness, after, you know, organizing a very, very, very small conference in Big Snow Tiny Conf Europe, and then going to FemtoConf this weekend, which was different than like a Big Snow Tiny Conf, I think, but not nearly what MicroConf is. It's really hard, I think, to put on a conference where you get people who are in different kind of stages of their entrepreneurial journey and in different types of businesses, all happy with the content that you're putting out there. You can't make everyone happy, you know?
No, you can't. You can't. And what you get out of the conference, I think, is directly proportional to what you feel like you can put into it. Mm-hmm. And what you can put into it, you know, in turn also has to do with the mix of people that are there. So because it was SaaS heavy, you know, if we had like two SaaS people and all Amazon FBA, you know, it would have been a very different conference than what we ended up having. And, you know, I probably would have felt, I don't know, muted, I guess, in what I was able to participate in there, because there would definitely be things that, you know, I wouldn't have any clue whatsoever to talk about.
Yeah.
So that definitely would have a major impact on it. You know, and a couple people had commented on that saying, you know, it was hard to tell what they got out of it or if, you know, they felt it was valuable. And I had this take on it when people were signing up. You know, I asked them specifically, what are you doing? And maybe I need to improve my interview process next year, but I don't want it homogenous either. You know, I do want different people, different stages, different perspectives. But yeah, you just can't be 100% of everything to everybody all the time. There's just no way to make that work.
Yeah, yeah. So after 2 years of doing it, anything you think you'll do different next year? Talking about maybe custom, like potential intake forms and interviewing and things like that.
I think I'll probably have a slightly different process next year for interviews, so that, you know, for somebody I don't directly know and know what they're like and where they're at in their business or something like that, where I get a pretty good feel of what they're able to contribute and what they're looking to get out of it, I'll probably ask some additional questions just to make sure there's a good fit there. And actually, the other thing I'm planning on doing next year is raising prices. And it's not because, you know, well, actually, I shouldn't say that. Everybody did say, this conference is too cheap. Like, one guy made this comment that was hilarious. He said, you know, I actually tried to sell your open spot within the last 2 weeks. I couldn't get anybody to go because nobody could believe that a ski conference at Beaver Creek for 2.5 days was only $600.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That was just – they were like, oh, no, that's got to – that should be $1,000. Something's wrong with that conference. So apparently my value-based pricing was working against
totally
me.
Totally fucked, yeah.
Yeah, and then it turns out that next year I'm not going to have the source of super cheap lift tickets that I've had in the past couple of years. So I have to change the prices to reflect that anyway. And so the other thing was that the catered dinners, like, everybody loved the catered dinners. They were like, this is so awesome. Don't have to go anywhere. Don't, you know, don't have to worry about who's driving. Are they okay to drive? Mm-hmm. How far do we have to go? What's the logistic? You know, how does that take away from our discussions in the night? It was just like talk. Oh, hey, dinner's ready. Everybody move to the table. More discussions. Oh, hey, dessert's ready. More discussions. Oh, okay, we're done. You know, go back to our regular talk schedule. Very seamless, very easy to transition into that. So that was definitely pretty popular. And, you know, it's hard – just like it's hard to get a good mix of everybody so that everybody's getting the same amount out of it, try to feed 12 different people, all of which have some dietary restriction of some sort. Like we had a couple of vegetarians. We had a couple of vegans. There was somebody there who was gluten-free. There was somebody there that didn't eat certain kinds of protein.
So you West Coast people.
Yeah, trying to coordinate all of that with the chef. He was super great. Like the guy that I used, his name was Zach. Loved Zach. Zach did a great job. He really stepped up and made it all work for everybody, considering that all of these different things were going on. You know, I thought he did a fantastic job. But, you know, it's still impossible, even with all of that, to make sure that everybody has the same equally awesome meal experience.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think given what we had to work with, it worked out pretty well. But, you know, there was always a comment or two about, oh, well, this, you know, I didn't like this part of the meal. And but, yeah, I think it turned out okay. But, Nice. Yeah, those are probably the things that I'm going to change next year, is that we'll definitely do the catering. I may up the catering a little bit, and we'll raise the prices and maybe do an interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the things I learned are in a very similar vein. And the one that I definitely will try to do is to get a place where you can spend all of our time at. You know, the place – it'll be in a different location next year too. You know, Chamonix here is a village with a bunch of resorts in and around it. But next year we'll go to a place that's more of like an all-inclusive resort, I think, where we can like ski in and ski out maybe, but at least ski both days in the same place. We chose to go two different places this year, so that kind of broke up the actual ski part of it, but also just like having, like I think you guys had, like a place where you're at the house the whole time is really nice, because we were kind of out into the village for dinner both nights. And it just kind of broke it up a little bit. But having like a place where you is kind of your hub and where you spend a lot of your time when you're not skiing sounds like a really good thing. So,
yeah, it definitely had a better flow. Like the year before, we did one night where we went to this guy's co-working space, and then he sponsored dinner there, so everybody had pho. And that, I thought that was going to be a bizarre experience, but it turned out to work really well, because I guess the local pho place actually serves vegetarian pho, which I'm like, what is vegetarian pho? It's beef noodle soup. How do you make that vegetarian? So they just do like a vegetable broth and put in noodles and some other vegetables and stuff. Anyway, they were all very happy with that. But it did change, you know, people were like, all right, well, we got to get over there. And it took us like 20 minutes to organize. And then when we were done, it took us another 20 minutes to kind of pack up and get out of there. And, you know, then when you get to the place, you know, there's a little bit of transition time getting ready. Everybody has to sit down, and we had to order, and we had to all of this stuff. So it definitely changed the logistics, and I liked having everything in one place. And I think most people did too.
Yeah.
I got several comments on that. So
let me get your take on something. And really, this is just kind of brainstorming, like an extension of some discussions that we had this past weekend at FemtoConf, which was great, by the way. Anyone who wants to come over next year to Darmstadt, it was a great conference. I'll talk about more about it in a minute, but looking at putting on another kind of like, I hate the term mastermind because it has like the guru connotation associated with it. But looking at putting on like a like 8 or 10 person event here later in the spring or early summer, not associated with skiing or something like that. So like Big Snow Tiny Conf type deal, but without skiing or anything like that. You've traveled Europe, you know, like pretty extensively, Dave. What do you think of that idea, like just outside of like a major city here, where you say like we're going to rent like a chalet, it'll be 2 days, and it's just going to be talking business, eight or so people. Do you think something like that would fly if we made it like like really high end, like you're talking about, like bringing in catering and having a sommelier and making it kind of like a luxury type experience. Do you think something like that would fly?
You know, it's funny that you actually mentioned that, because as soon as I got back from Big Snow Tiny Conf, my wife was like, why don't you run this again in the summer, but do something like whitewater rafting, you know, call it Whitewater Tiny Conf, and have a summer themed one for those that don't want to ski. But same kind of thing, same sort of experience, same, you know, same idea of discussions, and, you know, just kind of keep the ball rolling, but you have it more than just once a year. And when I was talking to people when I was up there, you know, I had mentioned the fact that, you know, Ken had talked about Big Sail Tiny Conf. And he's talked with you about that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so when Ken had mentioned Big Sail Tiny Conf, I had mentioned that to other people up there. They're like, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. And I think that there is probably demand out there to get that because, you know, not everybody skis. Some people look at this and they're like, oh, man, I really missed out because all these great conversations happened and I wasn't there. But I don't want to ski, so why would I go? But if you give them a different reason to go, like, you know, Big Hike Tiny Conf or, you know, Whitewater Tiny Conf or whatever, just add some activity so there's something for everybody to do and something to kind of get everybody out and bond a little bit together, and then have the discussions later in the day, I think that would fly. I totally think that would fly.
Yeah. Well, so I guess for both of us, if we're both sort of throwing the idea around, if anyone's interested in doing an event like late spring, early summer, let us know, because I definitely am not going to kind of put this up without like I got to pre-sell it a little bit, right? I'm not going to go through all the work of organizing this without some solid interest, and I don't think you would either. So if anyone's interested, let us know, and either coming to Europe or going back out to Colorado or the West Coast or something. But, man, these small conferences are so great. I am just like – I think I'll always try to go to MicroConf just because I love the feel and meeting people and seeing my friends. But the small conferences are just so different because you can get to know – like FemtoConf had 13 attendees and 4 speakers. I got to talk with everyone there for like at least an hour, you know, which is amazing, you know. And at a bigger event, you don't even try to talk to 15 or 17 people for an hour because you can't, so you don't even try, you know.
No, it has a very, you know, I want to say it's a similar feel to MicroConf because you get to meet really cool people and talk about business. But yet it's very different than a larger conference, and I wouldn't call MicroConf a super large conference, but you get really quality time to talk with these people in depth, at length, and multiple times over the days to really dig deep. Where before, you know, if you're talking at MicroConf, you might have half an hour at a party in one night. That's it. Because you got a lot of people to cover. And if you stay with just one person the whole time, you know, it doesn't necessarily do you a good service because you might be missing out another conversation. So you have to balance, like, how deep do I want to go with one person versus getting, you know, adding to my network and finding other people that I would be interested in talking to and meeting and stuff like that. I felt the same way at Big Snow Tiny Conf. You know, every time we went up on a lift, there was 10 or 15 minutes that you're talking to somebody else. And, you know, I did 10 runs a day, which doesn't sound like much, but, you know, of those 10 runs, that's like 150 minutes of talking that I had with other people. And that doesn't even include like discussions where we're standing around in between or at lunch or in the hot tub when we're, you know, getting ready to do the talks later on that day. Just chatting about stuff. And, you know, you have enough time where you're thinking about something, you talk with somebody else, they throw out a suggestion, and then, you know, you ski for a little while or you have lunch and you chew on it for a couple of hours. Then you come back and you're like, all right, so I had this idea based on what you said before. What do you think of this?
Mm-hmm.
And so you can really go deep. Like I got some good feedback on Recapture, and, you know, there were some brutal discussions with other people about you know, what was going on in their business. And of course, it's all under NDA, so I can't talk about the specifics. But, you know, there were no holds barred when there were some mastermind sessions and people were like throwing their stuff out, and everybody came in with some very blunt, honest feedback. But that feedback was very, very valuable. And it, you know, it's not the kind of stuff that you're necessarily going to get on a mastermind that happens every 2 weeks, or depending on your group, or it's not the stuff you're going to get at MicroConf necessarily. So all of that felt incredibly valuable. So big thumbs up on the small conferences.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell us about FemtoConf, not to, you know, change the subject here, because Big Snow Tiny Conf was really great and I could go on talking about it for another half an hour, but I'm interested in hearing about FemtoConf because I saw the tweets fly by while we were on our way back. So,
man, it was awesome. You know, Christoph and Benedict put on a wonderful event. I think for the size that it was, they pulled it off perfectly. So, like I said, 13 attendees, 4 speakers, and the two of them. And there were people from all over Europe, Spain, Finland, a lot of guys from Germany, me and another gal from France, Russia and Slovenia, right? So like really, and England, really well represented for England or for Europe, I think. But it was cool, man. So the first, so Friday, everybody got in Friday evening. We all met at like a pub kind of place for dinner and just had like a big old huge long table and everybody kind of just chatted and had some wonderful German beer. Saturday was talks all day being just 4 talks really. But a lot of time in between. So we had like 2 hours for lunch and took a nice walk around a park, right at the hotel and everything. But, it was, the talks were really great. A lot of really interesting stuff came up from the talks, like, you know, how it is like in between, then like you're all talking about Facebook ads, you're all talking about like positioning, or you're all talking about getting your business ready to sell and all that kind of stuff. So that was cool. And they did a really good job of leaving enough time for the quote hallway track in between talks, which I think is key and something that, you know, Rob and Mike at MicroConf have learned over the years, probably. And Benedict and Christoph, kind of got the beauty of hindsight or the benefit of hindsight from what Rob and Mike learned. But, and then the second night all went out to dinner again, had like a private room at a place. And then Sunday, everyone left like in the afternoon. So we had all morning to kind of sit around and talk. And then we took a tour of Darmstadt, which was, the town that we stayed in, which is about the same size as Annecy, like 250,000 people or something. So it was a small town. It was cool to be able to walk, and see a lot of the sites, but, yeah, it was really cool. And, you know, I got the opportunity to talk at the event and, I thought it went well. I got some positive feedback from people, unsolicited positive feedback, so which is always nice. And
did you like my talk? Did you like my talk? Did you
like
my
talk? Yeah.
Other than like that. Yeah.
But no, it's cool. I got a chance to tell kind of a little bit of the story of Podcast Motor, probably in more depth than we have even here on the podcast. Probably between, you know, like the level here we talk about on the podcast and like my mastermind group, but all like kind of at one time, and a lot of like the lessons and things that I've learned and things I do differently next time and kind of where Podcast Motor as a business is going. So I think it was cool to be able to take that spin on like what productized services are and can be, and then like, you know, what Podcast Motor has been and what it might be, you know, 6 months from now or something. But, yeah, it was great. I met some people that I already am, and you know, staying in touch with and building deeper connections with, which was totally awesome. So yeah, it was great, man. I can't say enough about it.
Awesome. Awesome. So let me hear your take on this question. So I got asked, like, why do you put on Big Snow Tiny Conf? Because everybody had asked, do you make any money in this? And I said, no.
Yeah.
I said, well, actually, last year I made $44, and they all started laughing. This year I didn't, you know, I was in a little bit in the hole, and they were like, well, why are you doing this? I said, well, selfishly, you know, I want to get 11 awesome business people in the same room with me for 2 days to have deep, really tough conversations about business, to have everybody benefit from pushing each other forward and making each other better. So would you say that would be similar for you for FemtoConf?
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, totally. I mean, FemtoConf going as a speaker and you know, participating in that way, but also meeting everyone there and meeting Benedict, who I hadn't met before, and seeing Christoph again. Yeah, very selfish. I mean, I love hanging out with entrepreneurs and getting to connect with them. Big Snow Tiny Conf Europe was a great experience for me organizing a conference. Going to FemtoConf as a small conference was great. Whether I spoke or not, I would have had a great time. Getting to speak and kind of putting that, you know, notch in my my totem pole was really cool too. And, you know, look to do more of it. But yeah, I mean, to your real question, like, yeah, looking at doing another conference later this year. I don't want to make any money. In fact, I'm probably just going to like cost neutral it from the beginning. Say, okay, we're going to have 8 people. I'm not going to pay myself to go because I'm going to organize it. So you 7 people have to cover the cost, and it's going to cost whatever, $6,000. So divide 6,000 by 7. That's what you pay. And if we get 7 people, we'll go. And if we don't, then the cost is going to be, you know, $6,000 divided by 6 or 5 or whatever it is. I don't want to ever make any money on these. I just want to go for free and organize it and have a great time with, you know, my fellow entrepreneurs. Because I think, well, one thing that's interesting is for me, I'm building like my sort of network of entrepreneur friends here in Europe from scratch. So these conferences are a really great way for me to meet people. I felt like I was just getting to meet and know like a decent amount of people in the States. But even if you're in the States and have been in the States, going to these small conferences and really creating connections with people is a great way to do it. I mean, there's no better way, I don't think. So
agreed. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. So with that said, I'm looking forward to MicroConf coming up here in April. You're not flying back to the States for that, right? You're going to Europe this year.
Correct. Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm.
Well, sad we won't be able to podcast live from one of those, but you know, maybe Ken and I can put something together on our side, and you can do a similar sort of interview style show from MicroConf Europe, and we'll throw those up as episodes.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can't believe MicroConf is just around the corner, right? Like 10 weeks away or something, huh?
Exactly. And in fact, you know, there was a lot of people at Big Snow Tiny Conf West that were. Are definitely also going to MicroConf as well. And it's funny, there were even a couple people there that had never heard of MicroConf before. They just signed up because I had been advertising it on bootstrap.fm. Mm-hmm. So they got to hear about it, and now they're considering going there as well. But the just when you think that, you know, everybody's heard of MicroConf, that's absolutely not the case. There are still entrepreneurs out there that are getting into the space or just haven't heard of that. So, you know, it's always good to continue to spread the word there. But you know, having the people at Big Snow Tiny Conf West that are also going to be at MicroConf Vegas, and they're going to come and ask me questions in 8 weeks, say, you know, right. Well, I remember we talked about this, about recapture. How are you doing with that right now? So the pressure's on, and I'll tell you, that's a strong motivator for me right now. You know, I've got a nice to-do list, and I'm cracking away on it. And I'm looking forward to actually having some results.
So did you find a developer yet?
You know, I put the advertisement up on Founder Cafe. I got like 4 responses, one of which was a referral to another guy that might have referrals. So that hasn't panned out yet, but it probably will eventually. There's 2 other guys that popped up, one of whom gave me his access to GitHub. I haven't had time to look at his stuff yet. Because I just got back and am pounding through other stuff around here. And then there was another guy. I forget where I'm at with him. But I did get some dudes that were showing some interest. And they look like the kind of people that I was looking for when I was advertising. So that's good. So now I just have to go into a vetting thing and try to figure out whether they're going to be a good fit for the project. And, you know, how much can I afford to pay them? And because I have a little bit of money right now. But, you know. If the money runs out, it's not like I can keep paying them. So mm-hmm. I'm going to have to like do a fixed bid project and say, this is what you're going to get this for this price. Can you do that? And if they come back to me and say, no, I can't do it for that, then I'll be like, okay, that's fine. And I'll just have to wait to get some more money to make it that kind of a fixed project. But I can't run it like I have the plugins right now where, you know, the hourly rate can just keep going because they're making enough money to fund that. It's just not, I'm not there yet. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And have you had your paired programming session with the guy in Denver yet?
Oh, it did.
Yeah.
It did, yeah. We sat down for 3 hours, and he answered a lot of my questions and gave me a good overview as a newbie to Node.js. So I have a much stronger understanding and a better feeling for how to trace things through the application. And he answered, you know, some general oddities about web programming that just, you know, I haven't been keeping up with for the past decade. So, you know, I probably learned them at one point, completely forgot them. He reminded me of them, and I'm like, oh yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Right.
So, so like, you know, I got a lot out of it in 3 hours, but I also don't feel like I need to have more ongoing sessions with him at this point either. I think where I'm at is I just need to dig and do work. But even with that, you know, this was one of the things that came up at Big Snow Tiny Conf West. They're like, why aren't you just pushing sales right now? Like, doing it all manually, forget about the onboarding, forget about doing automation, forget about having ideal emails, forget about all that. Just push sales. Why aren't you pushing sales? And I'm like, I mean, in all, I don't really. There's a fear factor in there, you know. It's more comfortable to work on all that other stuff because it's not talking to customers. So, you know, this is what I got beat up about at Big Snow Tiny Conf, and rightly so. So that's what I'm working on now. I have today signed up for Mike Tabor's Blue Tick, and I am dumping in 311 emails that I'm going to split up into four different sequences for those that are trialing but not converting, those that are paid, those that never converted, and those that churned. And I'm going to start asking them different questions. So I'm going to have different sequences to drop them through to basically get them to tell me, so what, you know, for the paid people, it's going to be, what do you think the product is missing, or what would you like to see?
Mm-hmm.
For the churn people, why did you leave? What was it missing that you felt it wasn't worth paying for anymore? And for the not converters, it's, so why didn't you sign up for the product? What was wrong with it that didn't make you want to move over? So each of those is going to tell me a little something different about some aspect of recapture that I need to fix, because everything that I was talking about at Big Snow Tiny Conf, Breck Palumbo was like, you don't know that. Do you have any data on that? He was totally just beating the crap out of me. It was awesome, but man, yeah, let me tell you.
He has a really mature business. So he does have data for like everything there, right?
He does. And he's very good about tracking all that stuff. He can rattle off all of his stats off the top of his head. I mean, you know, the dude is very smart. And when you're running a successful business, and he talked about his story about Distressed Pro at Big Snow Tiny Conf West, which was great. He shared information that I've not heard before, and that was super cool to learn about that and his growth journey, and you know how that fit in with his family and his personal growth as well as his business growth. But because he has that maturity and that experience and that data and this, you know, all of this stuff at his fingertips, when you don't have that stuff at your fingertips, these questions immediately pop into his mind, and he starts, you know, asking you these tough questions that he himself has figured out those are the keys to his success in his business. If you don't know what those things are, how to figure that out, or have actual input from actual people that are using your product, then you're just guessing, and you're flailing, and you're not going to be very successful. So I took it to heart. You know, it was not necessarily fun getting beat up on, but I'll tell you, the outcome of that feels like I'm going to have much better results in recapture as a result of that. So that's what I'm working on right now. I'm just pushing the sales pedal. So I'm going to move a bunch of people into a different sequence, trying to get them to sign up for the product, and I'm going to see how that goes. And if they don't convert, then I'm going to put it into the why didn't you convert sequence. So I'm just going to create all of these things so I can start getting direct feedback about all of these aspects of the product that I've said I was going to do, but now I'm in the process of actually making it happen through Blue Tick.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's all. I can't wait to hear you know, what some of the feedback is and how close it is to what you thought you know, the product is and what it was missing and what you need to do and all that kind of stuff. I think that's very savvy to get the data from users or even better, people who aren't users. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And just find out, like, did they all flock to a competitor that has something that I need to be building, you know, or do they just go, yeah, I just don't need it, which I can't fathom. Like, why would you not want to recover money with this tool? So it's hard for me to, it seems like a very obvious value proposition, but it could be, maybe it's in the communication, maybe it's in the copy. Like, maybe they just didn't get that they're going to get this huge ROI out of it, and they were just trying it out and they didn't get it. Or maybe it's because it was too difficult to set up. Like, even though that all they have to do is just flip a few switches and turn it on, there was still a part that they're like, yeah, I couldn't get through everything. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting. I've got a lot to learn here, and it's time to flip that lever and let the floodgates of information open up and overwhelm me.
Cool. That's exciting, man. I just have one kind of quick update on things from our end. So development on Podcast Motor Connect, our hosting platform that's connecting to Seriously Simple Podcasting, is going great. We're doing some initial user testing now, which is really exciting to see it kind of in the flesh and testing it out and, you know, bug tracking and all this kind of stuff. So for me, it's the first time kind of going through this, and it's going really well. I think we're probably another 2 weeks away from some beta testers and users. So so that's really cool. And, you know, mapping out my strategy for, like you're talking about, like, how do you get direct feedback from people who try it and don't use it and all that kind of stuff. So planning some of that out in my head now, as well as kind of the launch strategy with, you know, notifying people in WordPress and the little bit of email list that we have that Hugh had kind of compiled previously. So kind of how to launch, starting to think about that stuff. But the cool thing I wanted to kind of share, because I think anybody can do it, is have been doing a lot of video. I don't know if I talked about this before, but I've been doing a lot of video, and it all started with doing our Launch in a Week course. And got a pretty sweet, like, video setup here at the house now. So, like, got some stuff on Amazon with, like, lights and a camera and a backdrop and stuff like that. So I've been shooting some headshot stuff now, and recorded about an hour-long webinar that I'll be used as, like, an evergreen webinar as a lead-in into the course. So, like, free webinar that leads into the course. And got that stuff set up finally today after, I think I put it on Twitter, like, I recorded like 45 of the 50 minutes of the first version of the webinar, and then my hard drive filled up and ScreenFlow just like shit all over the place and dumped the whole thing. Oh, it was horrible. So of course it was like 10 minutes before I had to go get the kit, so I couldn't just do it again right then. But anyways, I did it a couple days ago, edited it down, and so it's just under like 50 minutes or something. But anyways, so have the webinar, and that's a really cool thing to send people to. So I'm driving Facebook traffic to this webinar landing page now. But then I took the webinar and cut it into like 5 pieces and embedded those within the autoresponder that I'm sending to like our main autoresponder now. So like we have a, you know, teach you how to podcast kind of web like email series, and I'm linking like a screenshot of that video segment in like 5 of the 8 emails that we send now. So it was really cool. I thought like repurposing of content to like give, because the people won't ever see both of these, you know. So like there's like the people who opt in for the webinar, they'll see the whole 45 or 50 minutes of it. People who opt into our regular list will just see like this kind of in pieces. So I recorded like a little bit of an intro for each part of it. But it's cool to be doing a lot of video. We're going to do a lot of video like demos and how-tos and onboarding and stuff when Podcast Motor Connect comes out. And I think that anybody who's not doing video and webinars and stuff like that, it's just such an efficient way of communicating. You know, it's like podcasting, but where you can see it too. So it's just so efficient. I love it. I'm totally hooked on it. It's awesome. Not to mention video ads on Facebook are like a quarter of the price of static ads.
Really?
Yeah, no, if you're not doing video, just like screen share stuff or use your webcam on your Mac, it's super cool. You just got to get over it. It's really hard though, right? Like a minute video of yourself staring into the mic or the camera is really hard. But yeah, just, you know, I think at this point I'm a little better than I was 2 weeks ago. But yeah, so it's a lot of fun. I'm having a lot of fun with it and learning a lot about like how to do it and where to use different types and parts and stuff. So yeah.
I, you know, every time I do video for screencasts and stuff like that where I need to have my face in it, I always just feel so weird staring at the top of my monitor on my laptop where the camera is up there. Because if you don't, then it doesn't look like you're looking at the person, and you know you're sort of looking down, and it just makes the video look even weirder. But just it feels so awkward to look at a place that's not natural to look at. And I'm sure if I had a camera in front of me, staring at the camera and then having this conversation like I was having a conversation with another person would be equally awkward as well.
Yeah.
So it gives you a little more of appreciation for how actors can pull this off and make it seem so natural, right?
Yeah, no, totally, totally. I did get a separate like webcam that I use. So I use my podcasting mic and a Logitech webcam. I'll link to it in the show notes. But just to get the computer kind of out of the way, because the computer being there really made it weird. Because then you're like, you know, am I gonna see myself? You know, like as I'm doing this. So I took that out and got a pretty cool Logitech webcam that does pretty good. From a post-processing standpoint, it's a lot easier than using like an SLR camera or something. Like take the memory card out and import it and sync it with the audio that you record somewhere else and stuff. So I do everything in ScreenFlow, and it's pretty easy. But yeah, getting over like looking at something and talking and not sounding like an idiot and then editing it down later and looking at yourself is like, it takes some getting used to.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever get over the looking like an idiot part, but I'll take what I can get, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So cool, man. Well, I'm really glad that Big Snow Tiny Conf West went good for you. I think, you know, these smaller conferences are great. And it sounds like Recapture is continuing to go well. So that's awesome that you're through the real transition point and have some good focus and kind of action items here for the next few weeks.
Yep, it's exciting to be at this point in the product here, engaged and really ready to find out what the heck is going on and what I need to fix.
Yeah, yeah.
So if anybody out there in the audience has any comments, especially regarding the small events that we mentioned earlier in the episode, if you're interested in doing one of those either in Colorado/the West or in Europe sometime over the summer, please email us, podcast@roguestartups.com. And if you have a sec, we'd really love it if you could give us a review in iTunes. And we'll see you next week.
And that's our episode for this week. If you have any questions or comments, please let us know at podcast@roguestartups.com. Subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Rogue Startups. And be sure to visit roguestartups.com for full show notes on each episode. If you're enjoying the show, we'd sure appreciate a review in iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.